This is Mike Vickers from Leather Lung, and you are watching Seismic Sounds.
Great. All right. Welcome back to Seismic Sounds of the Underground on Seismic Sounds Radio. As I'd like to welcome my guest for this week, joining me from Boston's heavy psych titan, Sundrifter. Got drummer Patrick joining me here on the show. What's up, Patrick? How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, man. Well, let's get into it. Man, let's talk about this great new record you guys got out in earlier time, your guys' third LP. First since Visitations back in 2019, so about 5 years now. And I think a lot of us weren't sure if you guys were still going to do anything else, but here you are. You got not only do you have something else, it's a great record you put out. I'd have to say this is, you know, for a lot of people, one of the best records of the year so far. I know it's early, but this is right up there, man. Just a sonic burst of just, you know, just fantastic record, man. But yeah, 5 years, you know, it's just, I think a lot of fans want to know. I mean, I guess you probably get this, you know, question asked to you guys all the time, right? What took so long for the follow up?
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that a lot. It has been quite a while. I think the biggest thing that played the factor of delaying it for so long was the pandemic. And just the shutdown of live music. That was really tough. And, you know, we put out Visitations back in 2018. And then right after that, we were beginning the writing of an earlier time, and you know, we thought it was like some of our best work, which some people agree with, and we really wanted to wait before putting it out to because without the live music aspect, we didn't want to put anything out that would just kind of fizzle out, you know. So we kind of timed it out, and you know, we tracked drums on the eve of COVID. It was like March 7th and 8th of 2020. And then we tracked the drums and everything happened. And then we kind of, you know, put it on the back burner for a while. And then about a year later, we kind of got back to recording guitars and vocals. And then 2022 came around. We started playing live again around, like locally around Boston, to kind of like dust off the cobwebs for these songs. And then, you know, it took a while to get a lot of our ducks back together, and a lot of personal issues of like outside the band things and life and whatnot. But, you know, it's good to finally have it all together and out now, but, it wasn't quite like we were gone or weren't planning on doing it for a while. We're like, you know, we just kind of didn't know when it was going to be the right time to put it out.
Got it. Well, so I mean, were you concerned at all that people? I mean, but people might have forgotten about you. Were you guys playing shows still around Boston over the last, I guess, 4 or 5 years? Had you been playing locally?
Yeah, we obviously 2018, 2019, and then 2020 happened. Then about 2022, we started to kind of reemerge and kind of play around and get things going and work out these songs live again. But yeah, we kind of knew that, like, you know, putting this stuff out, I don't know, then like the vinyl and all of that takes so long.
Oh, yeah. There was that whole issue too with the vinyl stuff. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, now you think, like, you know, I guess. So I mean, the one obviously difference I hear, just, you know, the sonic nature of this record compared, you know, I mean, Visitations was great, but sonically, man, this is just a major step forward, I believe. And I'm sure a lot of people are telling you the same thing. It's just a massive sound, you know. I mean, what did you guys do differently? Was it the writing? Was it just the mixing of the record? Why are we getting such an awesome sonic just blast on this record? Like I said, Visitations was great, but it's just obviously just a whole nother world, I think, on this record, you know.
I think we matured as a band a bit, just like just being more definitive as a band songwriting wise. I think we just kind of tapped into a deeper understanding of who we are as a band, and And like that first record, Visitations, is very like desert rock vibes. And and this, when we kind of came up with that riff for Limitless, it just felt like epic space jams. And that was like actually the working title for the song. Okay. But and so we were kind of like this expansive space thing, and just you know, we actually had the same engineer, mixer, everything was very much the same. Going into it sonically wise, we kind of upgraded some like gear things, and but we just kind of wanted to take Visitations and take it to another level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you definitely did. You know, another thing too is, if it just sounds to me that it's really rooted in a little more heaviness too on the record. You know, it's definitely I mean, the guitar tone is amazing. It's crunchier. It's got a little bit more like metallic. The riff's a little more metallic, I feel. And then your drums, it really just has that fullness and that punch more in your face, I would say, compared to, you know, the records. You know, so, I mean, was that the goal, too? Did you guys want to, I mean, like you said, I know you wanted to add all that spaciness, but did you also want it to be heavier as well on this record?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. And you can hear, too, from like, where we started as a band, Craig and I, the singer, guitar player Craig, we started out like very early back in 2011, 2012 as like a blues rock band. And then just as we just kind of kept playing around Boston and stuff, and our music just kind of got heavier, darker. It just kind of slowly evolved. And with our debut full length, Not Coming Back, there's some tracks on there that are like more just very rock, you know, and then we just kind of just get deeper and deeper into the whole thing, and just kind of, you know, obviously personal conflicts, and emotionally it's heavy. And so a lot of that kind of is seeping through, and then just our love for heavy music. And we've always really loved like super heavy, like doom riffs and stuff, but with that soaring vocal, that melodic vocal that Craig can pull off over the top of it. And I just think that's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And when speaking, yeah, I mean, his, you know, vocally, I mean, Craig, I know a lot of people are comparing his vocals to Chris Cornell, but I think he's just got his own thing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can see where that comes from, but you know, I think his is completely unique, and he's just got, his voice is just so soothing and relaxing, you know? So it's just the combination of that heaviness with that. I think that's what really makes you guys so unique, you know, and just so, you know, just such a great band to listen to, is because of that sort of just calm but heavy, you know, nature of that sound. You know, I just think, I mean, Craig's just a phenomenal vocalist, man. He really is.
Yeah, we all three of us, Craig, me, myself, and Paul, our bass player, we all went to UMass Lowell Music School for a while there. And Craig was a vocal major, and so you know, I did drums and sound recording, and Paul was actually like saxophone experience. He's like the musician of the band, and he can play anything. But Craig, you know, I would watch him like sing like opera and like recital halls. Wow. And so,
oh man, wow.
Very classically trained, and very, you know, he sings, a very talented singer.
Oh yeah.
And like, and like you said, it's, I think it's his approach to the way he sings is like a correlation to Cornell. It's not quite Cornell, but it's like the way he approaches the vocals is very similar. In that sense.
Yeah, no, I could definitely hear that. You know, and I'm obviously not the only one who thinks that this record is phenomenal. I mean, the whole heavy rock journalism contingent does as well. I mean, obviously the record landed number one on the Doom charts, you know, in February. I mean, you beat out some big names for that spot too. I mean, you beat out Wino the Obsessed and, you know, Big Scenic Nowhere, you know, Bob Balch and Tony Reed and Mr. Bison. I mean, so many good records last week, and you guys topped it, man. I mean, that's got to feel good. Knowing that, you know, that you guys topped all those, you know, bands, not even just being with them, but topped them, you know what I mean?
Honestly, yeah. I was thinking like maybe if we got two, that was going to be a win. Like, when we saw the Obsessed had a record out, Big Scenic Nowhere, Mr. Bison, like that was some serious competition there, but yeah, all great records, all great, phenomenal bands. It's still kind of a little bit of disbelief, you know what I mean? Like when I woke up and saw like you know, the album cover and the cover of all that. I was like, wow, no way.
Yeah, no, man, it's a hell of a feat, man. Congrats on that. Thanks. And let's talk about a couple of tracks. Obviously, the first single you guys put out, Begin Again, probably it's hard to pick really what my favorite song was in a record because I love it, you know, the whole thing, but I think that is probably my favorite track. You know, I just love the guitar slide too and that main riff, and obviously really intrigued by the lyrics on that one as well, which I know is about, you know, sort of like a battle of one to overcome negative self-talk. But so I guess talk a little bit about that track and what you guys were kind of going for when you guys were starting to lay it down for that one.
Yeah, the Begin Again, that was a like that verse riff is very much was one of the first kind of like riffs that we had. Limitless was probably the first thing that we, you know, that came across the table and was like, okay, this is it. This is kind of like the identity for the new record sort of deal. And then Begin Again was kind of the second one. So it kind of worked out the first Limitless being track one of the A side and Begin Again, track two of the B side. And I think with Begin Again that on the B side, we kind of wanted that, like, you know, you turn over the record and you get that energetic, Beginning Again kind of vibe. And, and yeah, you know, absolutely. The song is definitely about kind of overcoming a lot of, negative self-talk and, you know, throughout, you know, 2020, 2021, you know, you're not sure what's going to happen. You kind of doubt yourself, is this ever going to keep going? And, you know, you kind of have to stop the pain and just, you know, begin again and just keep doing it again. But yeah, like there was a little period where we're kind of like, I wonder if they're going to kind of remember us or whatever. But I do, throughout the whole thing, we did kind of believe that, you know, Visitations was kind of another record that kind of caught a lot of wind and people really, like, you know, dug that. And I was like, you know, that's kind of a unique record. It's not, you know, and I think people would remember it's Sundrifter isn't quite a band that, you know, people would forget too much about, but yeah. And then Begin Again has a little bit of everything, you know, it kind of has some like guitar soloist jam at the end and, totally. And just heavy in your face riffs with the cool groove and, you know, the big, you know, hooky type of chorus, you know, that big, you know, those long, long, vocal lines and, but yeah, we figured we thought that was a great first, you know, song to come out after, you know, 5-6 years and it kind of just the title, we're gonna begin again. And so we kind of rolled with that and it seemed like it worked out pretty well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like you just brought up, you know, the other track, Limitless, is also a standout. I mean, and I know you got a video obviously for that one. Everyone can go check that out now. And, you know, listening to Limitless, you know, the other thing I love what you guys have done on the record is the background vocals. You know, it just really gives the music such that stellar sort of ambiance. And just, you know, it just makes everything really complete. You know, sometimes I think when bands obviously add different, you know, elements to spice things up a bit and, you know, and to fill up those empty spaces, sometimes it can be too much going on. Sometimes it's hard to process all the everything. But I think what you guys have done is really balanced things so nicely throughout the whole record that there's, you know, there's no empty spaces in the songs too. And that's what I love too. It's, you know, everything's really complete. There's just, it's full, you know, and it's just, it's a very like pristine recording and listen, man. I mean, so are you guys now cognizant of that when you write now, you know, writing the album? Was there anything I would say on the record that you, or maybe when you were in like pre-production and maybe during like the writing process that you wanted to really maybe make sure you did differently that from this, like, you know, including the background vocals, or that's something that obviously another element you want to end it in that was a little bit different than what you've done before?
I think too, I mean, a lot of it does just kind of come out as we're going with this. And a big part of like the sound and the sonic experience of this record, we have to give a ton of credit to our engineer, Dan Schwartz. He's another guy who went to UMass Lowell with us and he plays in a band called Astronoid. They're like very proggy space like type of metal. And they were, you know, he kind of has that influence and we kind of knew what kind of touch he could put on the record. And two, we like to have like the record as an experience. And then our live show is like kind of a bit of another experience. and two, like you said, like the background vocals, and I think too in the whole stoner doom scene, there seems to be a less emphasis on the vocal and just melodic mm-hmm. and harmonic elements.
Sure,
like mm-hmm. make your music and our music a bit more psychedelic in nature, where you know sometimes and you can get lost in like harmony and melody too. You know, totally. It's not just mm-hmm. about like the riff and the you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean that plays a big part, and Craig always loves to lay down harmonies, and he can get really into that. So.
Let's talk a little about the Boston, you know, New England heavy rock scene right now. You know, I just interviewed Mike Vickers from Weatherlung last week. Oh, yeah. And, you know, yeah, we were just talking about really what a, you know, great scene that you guys have going on right there right now. I mean, I saw today even there was like a Ripple Fest Boston and that's going to come out. And but I mean, it's just so many great bands. I mean, you got you guys, you got, you know, Kind and Gozoo and Blood Lightning and Bone Church out of Connecticut. You got Mother Iron Horse. I mean, just so many great, you know, bands coming out of there. And what's, you know, we were talking about, me and Mike, we're, you know, like most Northeast cities, and I grew up in New York, and I mean, both, you know, all those cities really are traditionally known as more like hardcore and punk towns, you know. But with Boston over like the last 5+ years or so, I mean, really, I mean, we're seeing a whole different thing going on there that I've never seen before coming out of there. You know, normally when I would interview people or talk to, you know, metal musicians or whatever out of Boston or, you know, any hard rock, it's like, yeah, it's more of a punk hardcore place, but not anymore. I think you guys and, you know, are changing the, you know, the historic nature of what's going on in Boston, man. So you would talk a little bit about what you see, you know, going on right now in the scene there.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Yeah, I'm definitely like a retired hardcore kid.
So am I.
Early 2000s, I loved like a lot of Hope Conspiracy, Converge, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I went to UMass Lowell, kind of got more into like, you know, expanding your mind and sleep, mm-hmm. and slowing it down a little bit and getting a little older. And I always noticed that like a lot of the older hardcore kids or whatever used to could just somehow write really good rock songs and like heavy stoner doom rock songs, you know?
Yeah.
And like the Leatherlung guys, they have some hardcore influences in there, and they have some that really influence their heaviness. But yeah, like you said, Gozu, Blood Lightning, the Ripple Fest, a lot of heavy psych. You know, Mutoid Man, Mother Iron Horse, all those bands, really good stuff. Grayskull Booking, there's like a solid community. There's like a lot of venues that are catering to the bands, and it's just a great scene. Everybody's supporting each other. There's like a lot of smaller bands, a lot of bigger bands, and everybody's helping each other out, which is great.
That's awesome. So, Tommy, tell me a couple of your, you know, favorite underground Boston bands from your earlier times there, whether it's a hardcore or whether it's heavy rock or whatever it is. I mean, I used to love like a lot of those Wonder Drug Records bands, you know, the Scissor Fights again, you know, obviously Gangrene from back in the day was always, you know, a great, you know, original Boston band, SSD Control. But now we're getting into hardcore. I won't go there, but heavy rock. You know, I mean, but it's kind of interesting because a lot of those bands like Tree and all these bands, they would start out hardcore punk, but then they would morph into sort of that, you know, heavier rock or more like stoner stuff like you were mentioning. You know what I mean? What are some bands that you kind of dug growing up within the underground Boston scene?
I definitely think that like the Hope Conspiracy was probably one of my favorite hardcore bands. For like Converge and then me and Craig started playing in like 2012 together, we started to play like a lot of the clubs around the local scene, and there was a band, couple of heavy psych bands that were a bit lesser known. There was this band called Sand Reckoner. It's kind of tough when some smaller bands kind of like emerge and then they kind of, you know, they kind of fade out a little bit, but that band was, it kind of definitely influenced me even up and, you know, right up till 2012 or so, but it kind of changed the direction of where I was kind of going and where the band was going. And you could just kind of tell there's like a feel around 2012 where everything was shifting more towards like heavy psych and like just kind of, that kind of a thing, but yeah, a lot of hardcore, but then there's a lot of non-Boston bands that have influenced, you know, us as a band, like Queens of the Stone Age, Kaya, Sleep, like, you know, those things had a major influence coming around.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know, interesting, as you said, you know, just sort of like like you said, sort of like the hard, you know, the hardcore punk retirement plan is the heavy, the stoner doom heavy rock stuff, you know, it really is. But so, I mean, you know, Patrick, man, now, you know, now that you got this great record out there, I mean, and, you know, it's resonating with fans and everyone in the press and heavy rock world. I mean, what's the plans to get this record, if you, you know, into as many hands as possible? I mean, are you guys going to do any tour or festivals? You know, what's your ideal, I guess, you know, plan for 2024?
Yeah, 2024, we already have like a whole bunch of dates lined up. We have an album release in Medford at Deep Cuts.
Okay.
Really cool new venue. We lost a few venues during the pandemic, mm-hmm. but a few mm-hmm. others emerged. Kind of how it's been going, you know, some go, then some new ones emerge. But last weekend, we just we did a show at Lucky 13 Saloon in Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really cool show. We played with the Pale Hand and Sabbath Warlock, cool bands. It was a great time. We played Reading, Pennsylvania with our friends in the Stone Eye from Philadelphia.
Nice, okay.
We definitely might be back in New York again, maybe get to Philly, do some more regional dates, get up to Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut. Try to get out further, just try to hit the road a lot, really, and play as much as we can. And two, like a lot of these, you know, an earlier time, a lot of these songs were written right after Visitations. So mm-hmm. even though it's been 6 years, that like, I don't think the people or the fans have quite heard the jump in maturity of the band. Mm-hmm. Where we even still have new music, you know, it's crazy to say this, but we do have some new, you know, about like 6 new songs that already, like, Craig is a phenomenal just songwriter. He just mm-hmm. he can pull out like verses and choruses like that very quickly, mm-hmm. and so we kind of just songwriting machines, and we already have some stuff, and hopefully, you know, pending any type of major global shutdowns, that we could have even more music coming out, hopefully in the winter, in these New England winters. We kind of will go into a recording hibernation, hopefully, and then mm-hmm. get another one out way sooner than 6 years.
Nice. Well, that's great. Well, I mean, there's plenty to chew on right now with this great record in an earlier time, and it's out right now on Small Stone Records. So go ahead, Patrick, why don't you let everyone know, you know, where, I guess, the best place they can go to either, you know, buy the record, buy some merch, or just keep up with the band in general, what you guys got going on.
Yeah, we got you know, social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, or X, Instagram, Sundrifter BC. We got a website, sundrifterband.com, Bandcamp, sundrifter.bandcamp.com. Small Stone Records has some vinyl. We just recently kind of sold out of the limited edition blue
record. I got the last one of that one. I did. Thank you. On Bandcamp, I did. I got the last one. I was like, ooh, one left. And yeah, I got it. But yeah.
We still have a lot of purple. The purple is very cool. Nice. Shout out to Small Stone and Gold Rush Vinyl in Austin, Texas, for doing a killer job. 180 grams.
Nice.
But yeah, you can find us there. All of our dates will be announced, and flyers are always posted, and even directly inbox us. Let us know. Contact us. We're always willing to talk, tell you more about the band, where to find us, and how to get stuff from us. But yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, one last question. That album cover, who made that cover? I love it. I think it's a great artwork.
The same man that made the Visitations? One, Bronca Studios. So
nice.
He just always kills it. He has a certain aesthetic that I think fits the band sonically. It's like simple yet kind of deep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like where we're coming from, you know, simple riffs, but kind of has deeper layered meanings behind everything. And yeah, he did an amazing job. And he did the poster for our album release show on March 23rd at Deep Cuts in Boston. And he's done a lot of designs for us, and always a killer job. And everybody seems to catch their eye. So
once again, Patrick, thanks so much for coming on, Sundrifter. Great record. Go check it out. Hey, man, appreciate you coming on, Patrick. And, you know, appreciate good luck with everything. Us.